إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu sent the surah, Surah Al-Inshira, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when he was going through some very difficult period in his life. And in this surah, apart from other ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something twice.
فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا.
In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily, with the difficulty is ease. Allah did not say بَعَدَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Allah said إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Now, I remind myself and you that something which we forget, which is that every time you stand up and say, I am ready, a test will come. Now, tests come for different reasons. One reason why tests come is also to bring us back on track. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who, alhamdulillah, are practicing to the best of our ability. We are doing whatever we can do. But you find that difficulties happen in life. Some tests, and tests of different kinds. Sometimes test is with health. In some other times, test is material in terms of business and, you know, living and wealth. In some cases, tests may be through the children. So, can be many kinds of tests. In some cases, tests might be external environment, you know, political situation and so on, safety, whatever. And then we get discouraged. For example, you might say, maybe you were involved in interest and you realize that this is something which is wrong, I should not be doing it, so you give it up. Almost invariably, the first thing that will happen is that your finances will become tight. Almost invariably, it's not a rule, but almost invariably, you will find that your finances will become tight because you were running on the bank. So now you should say to the bank, sorry, I am not interested, take back your money. So what happens now? Automatically, your liquidity becomes a problem. And then you get discouraged. You say, hey, what happened? You know, I'm supposed to be following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. I've become a good person and now I'm getting difficulty. But the thing to remember is that when you said, I want to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you said, I am ready to be tested. Effectively, that's what you said. Because until then, you were wood for the hellfire, literally. So you want to get out of that. And you say, no, I don't want to be fuel for the hellfire. I want to be saved from the hellfire. So here is a test. Now, that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ma'al usri yusran. With the test is ease. And the ease, of course, comes in different ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the best meaning of it. But my understanding of ease also is the knowledge that what you are doing is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take something without giving a return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this many times in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always gives return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said specifically, whatever you spend in the path of Allah, Allah will return it. Ayat hai Quran ki. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly that whatever you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yukhlifuhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return it. And return it does not mean he does not accept it and throws it back in your face. No, what it means is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for it. And when Allah rewards in his own way. He does not, if we spend whatever we spend, Allah does not give us according to how we spend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards according to his grace and his majesty and his position. And that is why this is important to remember. Otherwise, we tend to lose hope, we tend to lose faith. We see this happening also in the case of dawah. For example, people who are doing dawah consciously. I don't say people who are in the work of dawah, because this is one of the fitans of today, where people call themselves and other people call them, so-and-so is a da'i. What is the meaning of so-and-so dai? It's meaningless. Every Muslim is supposed to be a dai. You don't say so-and-so is a namazi. You don't say so-and-so, you know, maybe even that we have to say, but every Muslim is supposed to pray. You don't say so-and-so is fasting in Ramadan. Every Muslim is supposed to fast in Ramadan. So what is the, how is it, how does it distinguish? So we have made, and because of this, we make dawah into a business. And that is the reason why there is no barakah in it, and that's the reason why we get problems. Because dawah then becomes a business. You have now identified, I am a dai, therefore I should be paid through this dawah. No. Dawah is the job of every single Muslim, man and woman, as long as they live, in whichever way they want to do it. There's no one single good way of dawah. What Nabi ﷺ gave dawah through his life, just by living. He gave dawah by speaking. He gave dawah by doing things, by dealing with people, through his ma'amilat. So, dawah is through every way. Any way in which you can present Islam is dawah. So, one of the things we find is that people who are conscious about this and who are doing this, then they get discouraged. They say, nobody listens, nobody comes, I've been talking for so long. No, that is not the whole point of this, is to understand that the test is this. The test of dawah is really not whether somebody is accepting your message, somebody is listening to you or not. The test of dawah is whether you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, or you are doing it for the satisfaction you get out of seeing people accepting what you are saying. And that is what is the differentiator. If you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah, it doesn't matter. Somebody accepts, alhamdulillah. They don't accept, alhamdulillah. But you will still tell them. But if you are doing it for, we are saying, nobody ever says, I'm not doing it for the pleasure. They all say, I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah. But actually, if you look inside your heart, what is it that gives you the kick? And what is it that discourages you? It's somebody's acceptance. Somebody says, oh, mashallah, this beautiful video, beautiful lecture, you know, beautiful book, such a nice way of presenting, and so on. We feel very, mashallah, very nice. When that is not happening, you feel discouraged. So really, in effect, who are you doing the dawah for? For yourself, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah does not accept that. And that's why there is no barakah in that. And that is the test. The test is the staying power. When nobody listens, you still do it. Then inshallah, it is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Anbiya, remember, it was not only a case of nobody listening. It was a case of people actually fighting back. Attacking and jailing and all kinds of things. May Allah protect us from all that. We don't have the staying power to stick with all that. This was Anbiya, for the Anbiya this happened. And this happened to such an extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in Suratul Yasin. The whole series of ayat right in the beginning is only about this. So it was not a once in a while happened to somebody. No, it was such an, you know, it became almost an intrinsic part of the, if you are giving dawah, this has to happen. It is almost like a rule. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach in that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, do it only for the pleasure of Allah. And that's why Allah gave the example of the man who was not even a Nabi. But he said, no. He said, I have to, my line with my Rabb, khalas. I will not disobey my Rabb. I will not worship other things. And I will worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you like it, you don't like it, doesn't matter. Whether I am approved of or disapproved of, doesn't matter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us what happened to the man. He got Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Jannah. So the thing I remind myself in you is that difficulties do not come because Allah wants to discourage us. Difficulties actually are tests. And difficulties are not forever. Along with the difficulty is the ease. Ma'al usri yusra. With the difficulty is the ease. And that ease is knowing that you are doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then actually sends you ease in a material sense where Allah removes that difficulty. And you will find that people who are opposing you, people who are fighting you, then become your greatest supporters and friends and so on and so forth. And important to keep in mind, this does not necessarily have to happen with you personally. It happens to the message. For example, if you take the history of Islam, while we are speaking, we say the Tatars became, and that is again a misnomer because they were Mongols, they were not Tatars. The Mongols became the greatest supporters of Islam. They became Muslim and they become the greatest supporters of Islam. We say this. And we say it in one single breath as if in the morning situation was something and in the evening it turned. No, it didn't turn. It turned after 200 years. We must understand that also. Yes, they became the greatest supporters. But when? Yeah. So it took time. And the people who came before that, in that period of time, they suffered. They suffered. Halaku Hulegu Khan, when he conquered and entered Baghdad, they say that there were so many people were killed that the soldiers could not walk in the street because there were so many bodies. So they had to put planks on top of the bodies for the soldiers to march. How can you step on the body? No, human body. Not that they were there was no problem for them to step on, but it was inconvenient. How can you march on, you know, bodies? So they put planks on the bodies for the soldiers to march. Imagine the kind of slaughter that happened. So people suffered. And Hulegu did not become Muslim. But later on, it happened. So the issue of the Nusrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Nusrat comes in Allah's own good time. But it also happens because the message continues to be given. Whoever was left, whoever was there, people continued to give the message. And that's where the story, I forget the name of the alim. There was this alim who, in this time, he left Baghdad and he went away into the forest. And he was living there. When Hulegu, it was either him or his son, they came there hunting. And he was on his horse and so on, and he had his dogs with him. And he found his man. So he saw the man was a Muslim. So by then, of course, the killings and all that was over. So he was not killing people. But he had his own arrogance. So he asked him, he said, "Are you a Muslim?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Tell me, who is better, you or my dogs?" He said, "Who is better, you or my dogs?" So this person said to him, "If I live and die on Islam, then I am better. But if I die without Islam, then your dogs are better." So now that is the answer. Ajeeb, Allah Ta'ala, ulama, may Allah bless them. You know, Allah puts in their heart what to say. So this man was so impressed, he took off his ring and he gave it to him and he said, "If you need anything, come and ask me." Imagine, this is the chief of the king of the Mongols. And he went away. Now this man, he never asked him for anything. But when he was dying, many years later, when he was dying, he gave this ring to his son. And he told him that this story happened. And I want you to take this ring and give it to the king. And tell him that I died on Iman and therefore I was better. So after his father died and he buried his father and so on, he went to Baghdad. Now how to meet the king? Because it's not easy. You can't just go and walk into the palace. So he waited until the king was on his terrace or fort or something and he stood outside and he called the Adhan. So the king heard this sound and he said, "Who's that? They bring him here." So the soldiers came and they brought him. When they brought him to the king, the man gave him his ring. The king saw the ring, he said, "This is my ring." He said, "Yes." He said, "How did you get it?" So he said, "Do you remember that you came to this forest and there was a man there and you asked him, he was a Muslim and you asked him, are you better or are my dogs better?" The king said, "Yes, I remember that." He said, "That man was my father. And he sent me to tell you that he was better because he died with Islam. And this is the ring that you gave him." And They say that the king called his ministers and he said to them, he said, this man is a Muslim here and he has been speaking to me and I am thinking that maybe this religion is a good religion. What is your opinion? And his prime minister said to him, Your Majesty, this is what we were waiting to hear from you. He said, we are already Muslim. But difficulty comes. And only after the difficulty these comes. And that's why I remind myself and you that it's very important for us to never lose hope. Today, whatever is happening in the world, for us it is a big thing. But if you read the history of our people, this is a walk in the park. This is a Sunday picnic compared to what this ummah went through. And alhamdulillah, despite going through all that, we came out victorious. We came out victorious. The people who wanted to wipe out Islam could not wipe out Islam. And neither will these people wipe out Islam. Because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody but nobody can wipe out Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very, very clearly. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they believe that they can blow out the flame, the candle of Islam, bi afwahim, by just blowing on it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish and complete and establish His deen, walau karihal kafirun. Even if the kuffar dislike it, walau karihal mushrikun. This ayat came twice. Even if the mushrikeen dislike it. So it's, Allah will not allow this deen to be wiped out. Our job is to present this deen in the right way. Our job is not even to protect this deen. According to me, that's not even our job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's job to protect, He will protect. Our job is to present this deen in the best possible way that we can present it. From our appearance, to our talking, to our working, to our action, to our dealings, our home life, our life externally. This is our job. To present Islam in its best manner. That's it. And if we can do this, then inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are successful. Like the man in Suratul Yasin. Allah did not say the people became Muslim. People didn't become Muslim. The man presented Islam. As a result of which, he was killed. Allah said, we gave him shahada. Whatever happened, happened. So Allah will not ask us what happened. Allah will ask us, what did you do? And that is what I want to remind myself and you. Today, alhamdulillah, we begin the LEC in Hyderabad. After 5 years, we are doing it now 5 years. Kaisa time jata tha, can you imagine? 5 saal. And but alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to give us, to accept it, to make it a source of hidayah for all those who come, and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him, and to be able to present this deen in our lives in a way that pleases Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.